Welcome to the Plant Spirit Podcast on connecting with plant consciousness and the healing wisdom of nature. If you'd like to learn more on how to communicate directly with plants, visit www.learnplantlanguage.com to register for the free workshop. That's www.learnplantlanguage.com. I'm your host, Sarah Artemisia, and I'm excited to introduce our next guest to the show today. Nina Vetito is a longtime forager, explorer, plant lover, and art maker. She's the founder of Blue Ridge Botanic and lives in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains, surrounded by the inspiration and materials that she brings to her art. Nina loves growing plants and flowers, making teas and art, and sharing about the flower folklore in the secret stories of the wildflowers. So Nina, thank you so much for joining us today. So excited for our chat.
Thank you, Sarah. I am thrilled to be here. I so appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Just such a delight. I love your connection with the flowers, with the natural world. And as a fellow lover of plant lore, I'd love to hear your perspective on really how do stories help us to connect with the plant world and the natural environment?
Well, it's a great question. I think that we're wired for story. We're wired to delight in story. I mean, we are a storytelling species. So stories are the way that we connect to one another, and they're a way that we relate to the world. And of course, all the great wisdom traditions knew this. And that's why we have these myths and these legends and these stories that help us know how to behave in the world. But I think just like we are wired for story, I think we're also wired to connect to the green world. And unfortunately, that connection has been severed. And so I think that the stories that I tell are maybe like little windows of connection. And just like we're wired for story, I think, as I say, that connection, we've lost the connection. And I feel like we, like the average person doesn't really give plants much of a second thought, right? I mean, unless it's in the context of some sort of decorative element for their garden or their home, you know? And I think there's this maybe basic understanding around the fact that plants give us oxygen to breathe, you know, that type thing. But that connection is a rational kind of intellectual connection. It's not a heart connection. And we walk around with a lot of grief and a lot of anxiety and kind of despair. And I think part of that is this longing for connection, but we don't really know quite how to do that. And science is kind of dancing around that and helping us understand in some ways, right? I mean, people are out making studies about how important it is to be outside and how, wow, that lowers our blood pressure and it changes our outlook and that kind of thing. But it's that heart connection isn't there, right? So I feel like the stories are a way to access that heart connection. And I hope at least that that's part of what the stories that I'm telling help people do.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love what you were just sharing there about how stories really are the way that we connect with each other and the world, how we're wired for story and we're also wired for connection with the green world. And I love what you were just sharing about how stories really provide a window of connection with nature. And that specifically, stories provide a way for us to access a heart connection with the green world, which I absolutely love that. No surprises there. So I'd love to hear what advice you have for folks who want to deepen their connection to plants and maybe if they want to deepen their connection to plants through stories.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would encourage people to find their own stories, right? I mean, I tell the sort of Secret Stories of the Wildflowers series. But one of the things that's been so incredible about that and the just beautiful community of people that have gathered around to listen to those stories is that very often they will share their own stories, you know, about their connection to plants. And that is one of my favorite parts about what I'm doing, because those stories are so beautiful and so special. But I think, as I said before, like most people don't really think about plants in that way or really are connected to the green world. So I feel like just trying to find those stories in your life. And it, you know, it might be something as simple as, and it may sound silly, but what is your favorite flower, right? I mean, I guarantee there's a story there. And very often, not always, but very often, those stories are connected to loved ones. I've heard incredible stories about how a special rose was someone's grandmother's favorite flower, and that's why they love it, you know, that type thing. Yeah, so I think exploring your own personal stories and even just asking loved ones, what is your favorite flower? And hearing, you know, I guarantee there's a story there. You will hear some amazing wisdom. And those are just little points of connection. And, you know, you just might look at that plant differently or experience that plant differently the next time you see it. It deepens that connection. So yeah, that's what I would advise that for sure.
I love that. And I love how plants, as you say, that the stories of our connections with plants can also deepen our connections with our loved ones in our life, and just how incredible that is. And we were talking a little earlier. I know that you have a personal connection with Violet. I was curious if you'd be open to sharing a story about Violet.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Violets are my favorite flower. And I think that probably, I don't know exactly why, but I think it goes back to childhood. I can remember, maybe it was fourth grade, you know, we had to do a research project on something, and I chose violets. And again, I don't know exactly why, but I think it had to do with the fact that it was the favorite flower of my father's aunt. And this was a beloved aunt who had helped raise him. And she was epileptic. And so at that time, if you were epileptic, you were not going to get married. You didn't really have a way forward as one might today. So she moved in with her brother's family. My grandfather took her in, and she helped raise my father, and he adored her. And so I was raised with a lot of stories about her and how amazing and special she was. But violets were her favorite flower, and she died quite young. And I think my father might have been around age 12. And one day they couldn't find her. And so they went out looking for her and found her in the violet bed. She had been picking violets, and I think she, you know, maybe had a grand mal seizure, and she died right there with a little, you know, bunch of violets in her hand. So it's such a sweet and tender story that he would share with us. And so I think I just kind of ended up having this connection to her and to her favorite flower. And yeah, it's always been mine. So yeah, that's an example of certainly kind of a personal story that I really hadn't given much thought to until I really started thinking about, wow, so what is it about violets that you like so much? You know, like, what is it? I mean, I love the color purple, and I love that they have this kind of really quiet little flower, but there's obviously there was more there. As I dug deeper, I realized, wow, this actually is a flower that connects me to an ancestor who was very important in my lineage. So, yeah. that's my connection to Violet.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And sure. Just so tender, so beautiful that your aunt had that connection, that she was so supportive in your dad's upbringing. And just, I mean, it does sound like something out of a fairy tale that they just found her in the violet bed there at the very end.
Wait, I know. It's so, so dear. And I know that her life was very, later found this little box, and inside the box were all of these little notes that had been folded up, and they were IOUs. You owe, you know, your brother $10. You owe, you know, and it just was, it was very kind of heartbreaking in some ways to find that and just realize that here was a woman who had no way of creating an income, had no way of moving forward, even to have her own family. She was dependent on her brother, and she had such a powerful impact on my father and now on me. So it's just interesting. And of course, I'll pass that on to my children and hope that they will do the same. And through those lineage connections and those stories that we pass on, I hope that, you know, love of family and connection to the plant world will continue.
Yeah, amazing. That's really beautiful to hear. And yeah, I just love what you were sharing there about Violet, and certainly how the plants can help us connect with our ancestors or our living kin, to just, like you shared earlier, we can ask them what is your favorite flower, and this can open up a whole doorway of information that we may not have previously known. And I personally love Violet because of the heart connection that I feel. I love how they grow in community. And yeah, I was curious if there's anything else about Violet that you'd like to share.
It's interesting you say that, because of course in Victorian times, one of the common names for a violet was heart's ease. And of course they have that heart-shaped leaf, right? And there's a long history of violets in folklore and even for medicinal use. And in fact, I think that they were used for heart medicine because of that heart-shaped leaf, you know, sort of the doctrine of signatures, the connection there. And they were, I mean, there's so many interesting stories about Violet. They were in Greek mythology. The origin story of Violet is that Io, which is where we get the word violet from, Io was a beautiful maiden who Zeus fell in love with. And in order to keep her from the jealous eyes of his wife Hera, he turned her into a cow. And she was so miserable as a cow, you know, having to eat grasses and just, she was not used to that type of thing. She cried. And he took pity on her, and he turned her tears into violets so that she would have something sweet to eat. According to Greek mythology, that's where we get Violet. But it was, favorite flower of the Romans. And they used to make this very special wine out of violets, which was supposed to not give you a hangover. So they would drink lots of it. And also the favorite flower of Napoleon and Josephine. It was their connection that it kind of came about through violets. And apparently the story goes that Josephine went to a ball, and she was, instead of wearing fancy jewelry like all of her contemporaries, she loved violets. And so she put on a little necklace of violets. You know, she made a little necklace, and Napoleon was just smitten with that, and apparently immediately fell in love with her. And then their romance ensued, and Josephine wore a dress embroidered with violets and carried violets. And she said, from now on, I want violets on our wedding day for our anniversary. And for the rest of her life, even though they eventually divorced, he sent her a bouquet of flowers on their wedding anniversary. And they say that when he died, they found violets in a little locket that he always wore close to his heart. And those were violets that he had planted on her grave. So really incredible story of how violets connected this great love. So yeah, it's very much a heart-oriented flower.
So sweet. Oh, I didn't know that about Napoleon and Josephine. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I just love what you were sharing there about the origin story of it. I always love a good origin story. And even just thinking about, you know, from a personal standpoint, maybe your more personal origin story, could you tell us a little bit about what influenced your love of the plant world?
Sure. Well, I've always loved plants. I've always been really connected to plants, even from a very young age. I can remember just really being interested in plants. That probably has a lot to do with how I was raised. I mean, I credit my parents with a lot of that. My dad in particular, he was very interested in the green world. He wasn't a gardener per se, like in kind of the classic sense, but he did grow some things, but he was a forager and he loved mushrooms. And we would spend our summers in the mountains of North Carolina, which is where I live now. And this was his happy place. And so as soon as we would get here, you know, we'd go out and we'd forage mushrooms and he'd teach us about them and we'd bring them home and cook them up. My mom was an amazing cook. And so those were, you know, those are really special memories. And I think gave me a certain sort of connection to plants in kind of a different way. I never had any fear associated with foraging or eating plants on the wayside. It was just part of kind of what we did. But I also think that my parents, they gave us the gift of a storybook childhood. And what I mean by that is not that we had some sort of an idyllic childhood, but that we were read to all the time. And a lot of that had to do with my dad, he was a psychologist, but he was a very particular kind of psychologist. He was a Jungian analyst. So he was a student of Carl Jung. And Carl Jung was a psychologist, who early 20th century psychologist, who pioneered this idea of the archetype and the importance of stories and myths and legends as a sort of a vehicle for personal development. So we were read to all the time, and everything from Baba Yaga to Beatrix Potter. And so that was really important. That was a big part, or is a big part, I think, of why I'm still really connected to stories. And I also think, as I look back on that, that stories really developed in us, and I say us, meaning my brother and I, kind of like a radical empathy for the natural world. So, for example, if we were to see a spider, or like if a little mouse were to run by or something, that wasn't something that like freaked us out or anything. That was just one of the characters that we loved from our stories, right? So we wouldn't dream of harming it or poisoning that little mouse, you know? I mean, those were characters that were very near and dear to our hearts. So again, there's that sort of, I really think that the stories helped us develop that heart connection. And yeah, that continues to this day. And my brother, by the way, is an arborist. So so he's very connected to the green world as well. So
yeah. Runs in the family. Yeah. And thanks for sharing that too about the stories. I also experienced that as a child, reading a lot of stories, being read to, also reading a ton as a child. And I recently learned that reading stories as a child can actually help us develop a deeper empathy for, previously heard it in the context of other people, but it makes complete sense what you're sharing, that it also helps us develop this radical empathy for the natural world. I certainly felt that as well. And so it's so great to hear about your experience with that. And thanks for sharing about your history, kind of where it all started. And fast forwarding up to much more recently, I'd love to hear a bit more about how you came to create Blue Ridge Botanic and really what inspired you to tell the secret stories of wildflowers that you're doing now.
Well, that kind of circle back, I guess, to around 2019. I was a teacher and I was working all the time. really stressed out. And my very sweet family kind of helped me understand that I was miserable through a series of conversations, you know, and I think that, after some lengthy conversations, we just decided, and I decided it was time to stop. So I left teaching and I was approaching my 50th birthday. And so, you know, that's often a time of great reflection and looking back and thinking, wow, what, where have we been? Where are we going? What should we do? And I realized that something that I had always really wanted to do, but never really allowed myself to do as an adult, was to really create art and live creatively. And so I thought, okay, you know, now's the time. Like, if not now, when? And I started to really explore that. I signed up for a botanical art class because I've always been just really kind of obsessed with botanical art. And then the pandemic hit. And so all of that shut down. And I thought, well, okay, I just need to figure out how I'm going to do this anyway. And so I started to explore the cyanotype medium, which is a kind of cameraless photography where you use a UV sensitive solution on paper and you capture imagery through, you know, exposure to sunlight. And it has a very long botanical tradition associated with it. So it was a nice kind of way to continue to explore botanical art. And as I did that, I started to look at these prints as almost like portraits of these plants. And I wanted to know more about these individuals, really, is kind of how I started to look at them. So I started to research plants and their history. And I had set up an Instagram account. And it was about that time that Instagram switched to a Reels format, you know, where Reels became a really important part of Instagram. So that felt a little daunting, I will admit, because as a complete introvert, I thought, oh my goodness, what, what am I going to do there? But I thought, well, you know, I'm really fascinated by these stories. Maybe if I share some of these stories, other people would be interested in them too, you know? And yeah, turns out they are. So I just started to create this Secret Stories of the Wildflowers series and have just been absolutely loving it ever since.
So great. And yeah, such a fantastic series. So, so great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear too. How would you say that the plants support you in your life's work?
Wow. I think they are, well, they're omnipresent for me now, right? I mean, they're always on my mind. And I am just can hardly wait every morning to get out and go on my morning walk and see what's blooming and discover something new. So it's, for me, it's a process of just the joy of discovery and kind of this ever deepening connection that I think was always there. But I mean, they were always just kind of sort of gently tapping me on the shoulder, but this has really brought them to the fore. And it's just been a really fun journey. And I just continue to love learning about them and connecting to them through that vehicle of story.
So great. Well, Nina, thanks so much. Clearly such an amazing storyteller as well. And so tell us, how can people find out more about you and your work?
Well, I do have a website at www.blueridgebotanic. Of course, I have my Instagram account, which is also at Blue Ridge Botanic. And I'm very excited because I just launched a Substack newsletter called Flora and Forage. And so it's a really, I think, going to be a really fun place to connect to people who love the stories. I'm going to be sharing a lot more in terms of stories. And so, yeah, so I'm excited about that. So that's another place to find the stories and to connect to other people who love the stories as well.
And so will the link to sign up for your Substack, is that on your website, or how could people do that?
Yes, it's on my Instagram and it's also on my website, right? Or you can just go to Substack and look up Flora and Forage and it will pop up. So yeah.
So great. Well, Nina, thanks so much for joining us today. Just such a joy. Delight to connect,
Sarah,
with you.
It has been so much fun. I so appreciate it and have really enjoyed chatting with you and sharing with the audience. And I just really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
And thanks so much for listening and joining us today on the Plant Spirit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and please follow to subscribe, leave a review, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.